I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Josh Allen has now won two straight playoff games while Baker Mayfield is going home after falling short against the Chiefs. Skip tweeted that he would still take Baker over Josh Allen, and it got people so fired up that he was even trending at one point yesterday. So, Skip, please explain yourself. Why do you believe that?
Yeah, please do.
How about, number one, he's just more accurate than Josh Allen. Josh Allen has arguably the second or third best receiver in football. Stephon Diggs was the best player on the field on Saturday night at Buffalo against the Ravens. And Josh Allen has turned his life and game around because when in doubt, he just throws it in the direction of Stephon Diggs. Baker Mayfield lost a guy that a lot of people thought was a top five receiver in Odell, who I thought actually hurt Baker's progress, stunted his growth because Baker forced it to Odell way too much. And Baker, over his last 13 games, after Odell unfortunately went down and out for Odell, look what he's done. He's completed 64% of his passes. He's completed 20 touchdown passes to only three interceptions. When he threw that one to Honey Badger, and you're right, Honey Badger just tricked him. He slick tricked him. That was only his second interception, his last 369 attempts. He has grown up and grown very careful with the football. He is more of a leader to me than Josh Allen is because he's just electric. He's a lightning rod. He's full of you-know-what and vinegar, as the old expression goes. And I don't always love what he does, but I love the body language, and I think his team thrives on it. His team is lifted and inspired by it. He lifted the Browns to their first playoff game in like 100 years. And what he's doing in a career that's lasted only 3 years, he's played for four head coaches and four different coordinators. That's outrageously wrong, especially for a young quarterback to overcome. He is finally living up to the hype that he has built with all those commercials, all those progressives and Hulu's and Heisman House commercials, way too many for a third-year quarterback, in my point of view, but he is living up to the target that he drew on his own back. Because they did have a chance to win yesterday, and I thought he played very well on the road in a big playoff game against a very rested team with a very good, underrated good defense.
You got to win that game, Skip.
Yeah.
My homeboy's out. You got 8 minutes.
He got two plays to win the game. He had a second and third down in which the ball was in his hands, and they max blitzed him, and he had to throw the ball away on the first one, and on the second one, he had to hit his check down, and it didn't work. And then he never, last 4 minutes of the game, he never got the ball back.
It's amazing when they're not sitting back and just let you just throw the ball, huh? When they come get you, it's amazing what the pressure does to people, huh?
So you're going to pick Josh Allen to win at Kansas City?
Whoa.
No.
Baker win at Kansas City?
Well, he came close.
Let me ask you a question. If Mahomes doesn't play, do you believe he can win at Kansas City?
Who? Josh Allen. I don't know. That'd be a toss-up to me. It'd be a close game.
I guarantee you, if they say Patrick Mahomes is doubtful or out, that line, Fox Bell put that line at Buffalo 4.5-7.
Well, you already know. They already said it last night.
What did they say?
They said it'd be like 3 or 4.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
So what was
you
it?
You know what? I wouldn't bet on Buffalo in that case.
I would. Without Homeboy, I got to tell you.
Yeah, but if Homeboy does play.
Oh, yeah, what? That's a different story.
You know what? I don't think it's even going to be close.
First of all, you don't worry about, I don't even know why you're talking about my homeboy. Mm. You worry about the other side. You worry about the NFC. Your team is over there. Mm. My team still going.
You mean anyway. My home Super Bowl team?
Skip, I don't know how you can watch these two guys play and say Baker Mayfield is better than Josh Allen. Josh Allen is more accurate.
He is not more accurate. What are you talking
about? That's what the numbers say. The numbers say that. I'm just going back to the numbers. You like Pro Football Focus, right? You like that stuff. That's the Bible. In sports, that's the Bible. Skip Bayless Bible.
What did we hear for 2 years until Stefan showed up on the doorstep?
Come on, Skip.
Everybody said he's just not accurate
True
enough.
True story, y'all. I went to Skip Bayless' house. Mm. I walked his house on the coffee table. I see Pro Football Focus notes, and I see the Bible. Mm. So Skip Bayless lived by those two things. Mm. Now, all of a sudden, he don't like Pro Football Focus because they got Josh Allen as a better QB than Baker Mayfield.
Well, that doesn't mean he's more accurate.
Skip down what the numbers say. Mm. I'm just going with the number. What the numbers say? If I got $500, you got $300, how you got more money than me? Mm. The numbers say $500 more than three.
Yeah, but Baker was playing for a ship of fools in that franchise. Was it not the clown act of the NFL until finally Stefanski started bringing a little bit of class and solidity there? Just a little bit.
Well, how about this here? Last year, did Baker team make the playoffs? Yes or no? Josh Allen team made the playoffs last year.
Okay, because they got an organization in place. They got a smart young head coach in place who's been there for the duration.
Okay. Led the team to the AFC Championship game this year. Do you know that Josh Allen is 28-15 as a starter? Baker Mayfield is one game over 500, 23-22?
He's played for terrible teams.
Including the playoffs, only Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers have more wins over the last 2 years than Josh Allen. Mm. Hold on. Where's Baker Mayfield? I ain't seen Baker Mayfield. Now, if you look at it, Skip, look at his trajectory. From his rookie year to where he is now, his completion percentage is up 16%. Mm. So it looks like he's doing this.
Mm. What's their playoff record, those two?
They're 1-1.
Both are 1-1.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
but
amazing.
But y'all didn't make it all up.
How did Baker get to be 1-1 for the Cleveland Browns?
Whoa. Time out. We came in the league the same time.
Huh.
I made the playoff my first year. Mm. Did you make the playoff your first year? My second year starting. Did you make the playoff? Mm. No, you didn't. I did. Anyway, Skip Bayless, look, I get it. And just imagine if that kid had Chubb and had Kareem Hunt running the ball.
Well, imagine if number 6 had Stephon Diggs.
He got Jarvis Landry, had Odell, had T. Higgins, had People Jones, had Austin Hooper, had Njoku. Well, damn, Skip, how much more you wanted to have?
Who did you just name that's better than Stephon Diggs? Who did you name?
Hold on.
Who's even in the ballpark?
Stephon Diggs had an unbelievable season. But coming into this season, there weren't very many people that had Stephon Diggs ahead of Odell.
That all changed.
Yes, but he did have him last year, right? Mm-hmm. And my guy went to the playoffs last year when he didn't have Stephon Diggs.
Mm. Well, Odell is way overhyped and overrated for what he is.
Oh, now he overrated.
Well, is his heart in it? His head in it?
His heart is right in the right place.
Stop it.
What's overrated is your guy is you thinking that your guy is better than 17. Mm.
Who caught the Minnesota Miracle that day? Stephon Diggs.
I guarantee you, if you were to have a redraft of the 2018 draft, I guarantee you 17 would go first. Knowing what you know right now, I guarantee you Josh Allen would be the first overall pick.
So who has played the best over the last 13 games? I promise you, if you look hard at it, it's Baker Mayfield.
No.
He's ranked higher. Pro Football Focus says Baker Mayfield has played better over the last 13 games than Josh Allen.
What you tell me. Your eyes. Mm-hmm. What does the eye test tell you?
Did you see the rockets he was throwing yesterday? You know what? I know Josh Allen's got a big arm, but as far as just a sizzle shot arm, mm-mm, throwing lasers, Baker Mayfield throws just absolute lasers.
Did you know that the guy on the right of the screen, number 17, was AFC Player of the Month? Mm. Did you know that, Skip? Mm. Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
He did that.
I think it should be he and Stephon
Diggs. No, don't do that, Skip. Don't do that.
I've never seen it like it. When in doubt, I'll just throw it kind of over there.
Okay, when Baker, when in doubt, who does he throw it to? Jarvis Landry.
Not true.
Jarvis.
They spread it all over the place. When in doubt, he goes to Hooper a lot, Njoku a lot.
I mean, every time.
Hunt a lot.
I mean, I had to cut that. I was listening to the sound a little bit. Yes, I had to cut it off. I thought it was a Iron Man. He kept calling Jarvis. Jarvis. Mm-hmm. I was like, if he's talking to the computer, Jarvis to turn it on?
Nope.
No. No, that's Jarvis Landry he's talking to.
You don't listen to the sound.
I don't. I don't. Skip, but you come on that. Come on, Skip. No, you trolling me that.
Seriously.
No.
I'm taking Baker Mayfield.
We're gonna do a poll. I want you. Hey,
oh,
I want
stop
Twitter,
it.
I want you to tell
you
me.
You know what?
Who would you rather have, Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen?
You know, I don't care.
No. You put it out there.
No, I don't care what they say.
No.
I know what I know.
No.
No mercy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In honor of Martin Luther King Day, Kurt Menefee and Michael Strahan host an hour-long special that illuminates the efforts of athletes creating change in their communities, highlighted by an appearance by Deion Sanders and also by Bubba Wallace, who sat down for a conversation with Shannon. Looking forward to it. Fox Sports Voices today, 5 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Aaron Rodgers continued his dominant season by passing for nearly 300 yards and 2 touchdowns to go along with 1 on the ground in a 14-point win over the Rams. Green Bay will host the Buccaneers next week after Tom Brady also had 3 total TDs and just under 200 yards through the air in his win. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick is joining us now. So, Mike, based on what you saw this weekend, what shot do you give Brady to beat Rodgers?
I give him a fair shot, man. Anything is possible with TB12. I mean, just look at the game yesterday. I mean, he was totally in sync. And, you know, anything can happen in between the right white lines. And, the story of the weekend for every team that has played, you know, in this weekend's playoffs and last weekend, it's been about the turnovers. You minimize the mistakes, you minimize the turnovers, and those teams go on to win the game. The teams that make the most mistakes and most turnovers are the teams that, you know, are losing. So, you know, anything can happen. You know, but we got the best of the best and Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. We couldn't ask for a better situation or scenario. And while I do think Tom Brady will be up for the task, not just him, but the defense, the offense in its entirety, the coaching staff, I think they're just as hot right now as the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, while they can lean on that, you know, Green Bay got to take them very seriously, but you got to know that the veteran Tom Brady is walking into the building, and it's not going to be a pushover by any stretch.
They got a great chance, and you mentioned the turnovers. You look at Buffalo. They won the game, Skip. It was basically that turnover. It was 101-yard pick six, house call, because Baltimore defense only gave up 10 points. The difference in the ball game was that pick six. You look at the Tampa-New Orleans game. Tampa got 21 points off of those 4 turnovers. So they only scored 9, basically driving the ball, having to drive the ball the length of the field against the Saints defense. If you turn the football over and you're playing one of these great quarterbacks, and I think all these quarterbacks, these are the top quarterbacks, the top four quarterbacks, I think, currently playing in football. You turn the football over, you're going to lose. Mm. It's as simple as that. You know, all this other stuff, it's fine and dandy. You turn it over, you're going to lose these games this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure the coaches are going to stress when they convene these teams on Wednesday. They probably have a little light walkthrough today. They're off on Tuesday. Tuesday normally off day. When they reconvene, they're going to harp, take care of the football. And that's the thing about football, Skip. Football is a sport like no other, because in baseball, you got to be somebody 4 out of 7 for the World Series. Yep. Basketball, for the Larry O'Brien, you got to be some. In football, a bad throw, a pick six, scoop and score, it's over. It's like, ain't no tomorrow when you ain't no we get them back Tuesday, nope. We coming back Tuesday, Skip. Mm-hmm. It's over. They have an excellent chance, but the difference is this. Mike, I don't know what you saw, but I'm looking at it, and I would have to look at the tape to make sure I'm right, but I believe I saw a lot of what we call 25, too deep, man under, because they said Drew can't throw this ball outside the numbers, and we're going to take away the middle of the field. We're going to be up close. We're going to be physical. We're going to take away that quick game from him. And they took that away, and you see the ball just fluttering once he had to throw it outside the numbers. The difference is Aaron Rodgers can tack every location on the field, vertically and horizontal. So the question is that we asked over Ohio State.
And he can
State,
move.
Yes, he definitely can move. Mm-hmm. You can't play 25 against him because he'll run. Mm. The question that we had against Alabama and Ohio State, Skip, could Ohio State replicate that offensive performance that they put up against Clemson? The question is, can Tampa defense replicate what they did against New Orleans against Green Bay?
Mm, no. I got a better question. Can the Tampa defense replicate the performance of October 18th at Tampa Bay? Because that was arguably an even better performance than the one we saw against Drew Brees, what's left of Drew Brees, yesterday at New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to remind everybody that this defense was most responsible for a final score on October 18th of 38-10 Tampa Bay mm-hmm. over Aaron Rodgers. That was his worst game by far of the year. He had a QBR of 12, a scale of 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady had a QBR that day of 97, but he wasn't the story. The story was that Aaron Rodgers jumped up 10-0. And then on a fateful 3rd and 10 play, he tried to throw it to Devontae, and Jamel Dean, of all corners, jumped the route.
Who's since been bit.
I know, but yep. but he's back.
He's playing the slot now yeah. more.
And he took it home.
He did.
And then 3 plays later, it's another 3rd and 3 play, and he tries the other side to Devontae again. And Mike Edwards says, thank you very much. I'm going to make a house call, except he got knocked out of bounds at the 2.
Did a remnant.
Okay. And from that point forward, would you believe that Aaron Rodgers, as I keep telling Shannon, folded like a lawn chair at a Tampa retirement community? Would you believe that every possession from that point on, they either punted or just ran out of downs? They didn't score another point. They didn't come close to scoring another point. And would you believe that Devontae had 6 catches for a grand total of 61? Would you believe Aaron Jones carried it 10 times for 15 yards that day?
Right.
You don't think that defense is going to go up there with some confidence?
Hey, you know what's coming, Skip. The McCrinkleberry. Back out of y'all.
Well, he did it.
Nah, he's going to keep doing it.
Well, then he didn't get to do it anymore.
But what's going to happen, Mike?
Rodgers is going to have extensive film study and watch this game over and over again so he don't run into the same problems that he ran into when he was in Tampa. And I think for Tampa Bay, can Tampa Bay go on the road? And it could be inclement weather. It could be cold.
It will.
Can they still, get up for a game like this, play good football, good defensive football in cold weather, extreme conditions? And if they can do that, then they give themselves a chance. If not, Aaron Rodgers, this is what he wanted. This is what he's been asking for.
He got
what he wanted. And he got the best of the best. He got the best of the best on the other side, which is going to be a motivational factor for him. But also, he got him in his element.
He does. So the other thing that happened that day at Tampa back on October 18th was Tom Brady was sacked 0 times. Mm-hmm. Can they do that again? Can they keep him that clean? Because if they do, he'll stay in the game,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
Because they can run it. They can control it, right?
Yeah. But I thought Green Bay did a good job of getting after the quarterback with Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith and Clark and Gary.
Yep.
I thought they did a great job with just their front four of getting after Jared
okay.
Goff.
Obviously, both teams are much better than they were that day.
Yes.
Because Brady absolutely. Has brought this whole franchise to a boil yes. right on schedule to me. So, look, Green Bay should be favored. What's it going to be, three or four points?
I think Steve told me last night. He asked me what I thought the line would be. I say four. He said it would open at 3.5.
Okay. Well, I guessed it might be as high as 7 because I think they should be a decided home favorite, obviously. But I think Brady has a great chance of winning the game.
Yeah.
Because think where he is. He's one step away from playing in his 10th Super Bowl and becoming the first team ever to play a home game right. Super Bowl. How cool is that?
Yeah. You're to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, that's what's so scary about this game. Tom has the experience. He has the wherewithal. He know how to win games like this. He's been there before, and all he got to do is bring the guys with him. That's an easy task. That's just leadership. But as far as experience going into this game, I mean, this is Tom Brady's type of environment, so I think he can thrive and excel.
But here's the thing, though, Mike. How many other guys on that team has played championship games in inclement weather, in cold weather? I'm not worried about Tom. What about the other guys that's catching the ball, that's playing defense? How many cold weather games have they played with all the money on the table?
Well, it's easy to play defense in a cold, I think, and I'm not even a defensive player. I mean, I'm just putting the onus on them to say, look, all you got to do is just fly around and hit. My concern is with the guys on the offensive side of the ball because, you know, I'm going to be honest. We're not as tough as those guys on the defensive side of the ball. I'm just saying, real.
Well, I mean, the Rams found out, you know, it's fly around. Yeah, when you play in a dome and it's 85 degrees all the time and all of a sudden you go to 20, it's a whole different ball game, Mike.
Yeah, Aaron Donald was hurt, though. Aaron Donald was hurt. He couldn't be effective. The rib injuries you can have for any player, any position.
So, final question. Who will have the best defensive player on the field on Sunday?
The Bucs.
That guy's an emerging superstar.
Yeah.
And he is hot.
Yeah. I thought he should have made the Pro Bowl this year. I thought he should have been, other than Bobby Wagner, I thought he should have went in over Fred Warner. No disrespect to Fred Warner.
I agree.
But this kid, what this kid did, yeah, he definitely should have been a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, sideline to sideline, he proved he was the best.
You could tell he was a running back. He was not only a linebacker, he was a running back also in high school.
Yep.
All right, Mike, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much for your time.
No mercy.
Patrick Mahomes was pulled from the game in the third quarter after taking a hit while running for a first down on a 3rd-and-inches option play yesterday. Mahomes was diagnosed with a concussion and was ruled out for the remainder of the game. Andy Reid talked about the hit after the game. Take a listen.
He got hit in the back of the head and kind of knocked the wind out of him and everything else with it. So we took him out. He's doing great right now, which is a real positive. As we looked at this, passed all the deals that he needed to pass. And so we'll see where it goes from here.
It was hard to watch, just the visual. Shannon, what was your immediate reaction to the play?
Damn, Andy sounded out of breath. He must be ran to the podium, Skip. slow down.
I think his life flashed before him because he thought he's going to lose his quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah, high
Skip. That's what we would call a gadget play. It's an option. Now, you ran in and scored a touchdown. Normally, you have one gadget where you expose your quarterback. And if you dodge the bullet, they don't get him, you're like, okay, we came out good. We got a touchdown out of the play. We done with that. Skip, he went back to it. On 31, hand it to your running back or just have him do a quarterback sneak straight ahead. Why would you expose him to a situation like that? And people are like, well, pitch it to the back. If you watch 29, he beelines to the back. And now the back is already like 8 yards back, so there ain't no way he getting it because 29 run past Patrick Mahomes going straight to the back because they fixed it this time. Like, look, we want the middle linebacker. You scrape over the top. You see where the back guy going to take the pitch away, 39?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's not there. Why would you expose him to a play like that, Skip? Just turn around and hand the ball to give the ball to Williams or just quarterback sneak it. Don't expose your quarterback like that. And you know you don't put your quarterback twice on a gadget play in one game? Nah, you don't do that. And Andy knew he had messed up because you're right. When he's sitting out there, I'm looking at his eyes right there. I said, oh, yeah, it's over.
Yep.
people don't realize it's the side shot and the head shot, Skip. I tackled a guy on an interception, pick six. Trent threw a pick six against Tennessee.
Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm. I ran, jumped on the guy's back, tackled him in the end zone, and the first thing here, boom, my head. Ear pads go everywhere. Man, I'm head ringing, stars going, but, you know, back then, Skip, you know, you got to go back in the game. Ain't no, ain't no coming out.
Nope.
But I'm surprised that Andy called this play after he had already called it once and got away with it. Now, it says Mahomes, I thought he hurt his groin, Skip, because when he threw the pass to Kelce and he got spun around, I thought he was, like, limping on his groin, but they say he had a toe injury.
Big toe.
Big toe.
Looked like turf toe.
Right. Well, if it's an old injury, Skip, maybe they injected it to begin with. Now, the only thing you can do with that is that you put a metal insert in there so the toe doesn't bend.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. And so that's why it looks like he's walking with a club foot. But Andy dodged a bullet yesterday.
He did.
Because this thing could have been a lot worse than what...
I agree. So, as you know, I grew up a University of Oklahoma fan. And the greatest year of my Sooner rooting life was that 19, it went from 69 to 70 year when they decided to go to the wishbone.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this?
Yep.
Barry Switzer said, I'm going to take that old Texas wishbone that they run meat and potatoes with, and I'm going to put Greg Pruitt at one halfback and Joe Wiley, last of the great white running backs at Oklahoma, at left halfback, and Jack Mildren, who's a great athlete, at quarterback, and we are going to rip and pitch, man. And they were putting up huge points. They blew out Texas, I think it was like 48 to 27 with their own medicine.
Right.
But I started to ask, well, wait a second. Why wouldn't this work? Because it's revolutionary. It took them all the way to that 1971, obviously.
What they call the greatest game ever.
Greatest game ever. I was there on like the 50-yard line. It's the greatest game I ever watched, except my team lost 35 to 30.
Johnny Rogers game.
Johnny Rogers game. I saw him throw up in the end zone after he ran a punt back. The point was, why wouldn't that work in pro football? Well, everybody told me who knew, you'll get the quarterback killed.
Yes.
So I just gave it up. I said, we'll never see the option like that because the quarterback has to go down the line and read the defensive end.
Right.
And at the last second, is he going to take you or the pitch, man?
Right.
Except now they started, they found the feet out, send the corner after
the
pitch man. But you're just fair game. You pitch the ball and they blast you right in your face. Well, Andy Reid has mad scientist in him, and he won't give it up. That was more about Andy's ego than his quarterback's health. Why are you doing that, and why wouldn't you apologize after the game? I wanted to hear Andy say, you know, I'm sorry, I put him in harm's way.
Right.
So he didn't play him in the last game of the regular season to let Chad Henne play the whole game,
because
I got to protect him. And then he keeps calling his number because Patrick has athletic ability, but he's so big, he's a little overweight, but it's okay. He needs the padding.
Right.
But it looks like he weighs 240.
But Skip, he's not elusive like a Lamar
or
Kyler
elusive.
Murray.
No. Once he gets going,
he can chug, but
he doesn't have that. He's got a little bit of it occasionally at the goal line. But if you're going to keep asking him to go down the line and read it on third and one and pitch it or keep it, what are you doing?
Right.
That's on Andy Reid, and that's mad scientist run amok. That's completely out of bounds. That's on the head coach.
Skip, if you remember when RPOs and everybody was running it, they said, you know what we want? We don't even care about the dive. We don't even care about the pitch. We want you to punish the quarterback because he's a runner. So if he comes down the line, I want you to punish the quarterback. If you watch the way the Baltimore Ravens did Colin Kaepernick, they didn't care nothing about Frank Gore was getting 10, 15 yards. They didn't care nothing about Cap. We're going to punish you. So if you want to expose your quarterback, Skip, if you care so little about your quarterback that you're going to run him like he's a running back,
agreed.
Why should I treat him anything less than a running back?
Agreed.
That's what happened to Cam, Skip. Remember, they kept running Cam. They're running Cam on quarterback powers and quarterback dives and quarterback ISO. That's your quarterback. Well, we run him like he's a running, but like he's a fullback. Okay. Well, we're going to treat him as such.
But those runs are different to me. At least you give Cam a full head of steam and let him choose.
Right.
And if he wants to try to run over the linebacker at the goal line like he did it at Atlanta 1 year, what are you doing? What are you doing? But that's your choice.
And Skip, the thing is, Patrick Mahomes, Skip, That's not hit. I mean, Cam has run the option. Lamar Jackson, those guys in college, they're proficient at that. That's not what Pat Mahomes does.
Yeah.
That guy came from so quick inside and got up on Mahomes so quick. He didn't even know what happened.
So Mac
he just
Wilson,
knew he was going to turn the corner, Skip. He's like, I got this one.
Mac Wilson's a second-year linebacker out of Alabama, fifth-round pick. And he comes up and he tries to, you know, it wasn't a violent, vicious hit.
No.
He kind of comes in and tries to sort of wrap him up. And Andy said, well, he got hit in the back of the head. And I didn't think it was that much of a
either.
Shot to the back of the head. And then he starts to pull him down, and he kind of got him around the throat, but just for a second or so. And it shocked
me. More like side of the head.
Yeah, kind of side of the head. And at first I thought he fell on the football and knocked the breath out of himself that way. But he didn't hit his head on the field. And when he got up and he was that woozy, I was shocked because I didn't see the play as that dangerous.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Andy Dalton play at Washington
right.
when Bostic just hit him
right.
helmet to helmet and knocked him unconscious.
Yeah, but when he did that right there, Skip, I knew he wasn't coming back.
Well, that was the end of that.
Yeah,
that
was scary.
Okay, but from all I saw in that play and from all I've heard, I believe he'll be just fine to play Sunday.
Yeah.
I would worry right now more about the turf toe than I would about his
right.
head condition.
Right.
That's just me.
It's going to be a good. They played earlier this year. It was 27-16, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Mahomes beat them in Buffalo.
26-17.
26-17, yeah. So it's going to be, I can see another, I think the game probably might get into the high 20s, low 30s for both teams, Skip. Josh Allen is a different animal than when they played earlier.
Yeah, but so is your guy.
Oh, the whole
one. Your guy flee of his own. And I don't think Andy Reid would have been as optimistic after the game had Patrick Mahomes not looked okay. It's just hard to see that visually when you see his eyes like that, and you never, never a good look to see your quarterback go down that way.
No mercy.
The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Well, how about that guy, Tom Brady? He threw for 199 yards and 2 touchdowns in the win over the Saints in New Orleans last night. Brady also added a rushing touchdown in the upset over the divisional rival Saints, who beat them, remember, twice during the regular season. It's hard to beat Tom Brady 3 times. So, Shannon, please give Brady a letter grade for me.
Skip, I gave him a B because I thought he was smart enough to understand the situation of the ball game. It wasn't going to require him to throw for 300-plus yards, but it was going to require him to stay out of harm's way. And I thought he did a great job of that. You look at what the numbers. I mean, one pass to Mike Evans, one pass to Antonio Brown. I think Chris Godwin might have caught 1 or 2 passes. Basically, it was the backs and tight end, Leonard Fournette, Cameron Brate. So he's like, yeah, I'm not going to really put the ball in harm's way, and either my guy is going to catch it or it's going to be incomplete. He had a chance for an interception. The guy didn't get the other foot down. But I thought he did a great job of understanding. My defense is playing really, really great. The likelihood of them driving the football field and getting points isn't very good. The last thing I need to do is give this team a short field. So he did that. I gave him a B. He wasn't spectacular. Was this one of Tom Brady's greatest games? No. But mentally, to stay locked in to say, you know what? I know, hey, Leonard Fournette, here, take this. Here, do that. So I gave him a B. Could he play better? Sure. But it was the turnovers that cost him in the first 2 games that he avoided, which helped him to win this game.
Which is why I give Tom Brady for yesterday's performance an A-. Degree of difficulty. This was his worst matchup nightmare, I believe, of his whole career. This team had done things to him in the first 2 games nobody has ever done to Tom Brady, especially in the second game at home, November 8th, that Sunday night game. That was the worst game he's ever played. This team owned him psychologically, physically, couldn't block him. He was under pressure 55% of his throws
night. I would have given him an A had Drew played better. Had Drew played a little better, maybe threw for 250 yards, I would have given him an A because I said, you know what, Tom had to top Drew. But the only way he had to top Drew was not turn the ball over. Drew threw 434 yards in a ball game, Skip.
Okay, but have you ever seen a bigger beatdown turnaround than this one? Because as you kept saying last week, New Orleans just just annihilated them, humiliated them, devastated them at home. It was 40 minutes time of possession to only 20 minutes. It looked like Tampa against New Orleans was hapless and hopeless. And they turned all that around, starting with the quarterback. No turnovers, only one sack. He got rid of the football. And they scored 30 points on that defense at New Orleans. And again, they had help from the turnover. And you
remember what happened in the second game? Tom Brady turned the ball over, gave them short fields. New Orleans capitalized. It was 38-3. What happened in this game? Drew Brees turned the football over. They got 21 points, and now it's 30-10. So really, they scored 9 points when they actually had to drive the ball against New Orleans defense.
Okay. Again, I'm going A-minus because Tom Brady had four deep throws, no risk it, no biscuit throws, that were not dink and dunks, that were just off receivers' fingertips. If we could just see them really quickly here, if we could see Gronkowski, this is the first third and three of the game, just off his fingertips. Maybe 10 years ago, he would have caught that.
Maybe five.
Maybe 5 years ago, he would have caught that. Maybe 2 years ago. And then here we go again. He goes deep to Mike Evans, and guess who? Marshawn Lattimore. That's just too good. The throw is right on the money, but you're trying to hit the deep throw. Right. Then here we go to Chris Godwin, end of half. It's right on the button. I thought Chris, being the top rated
receiver gotta make that
a
catch.
Year ago, you just got to make that
make
catch.
That catch. You
he
make
just
that.
Couldn't haul it in and keep it as he somersaulted. And then finally to Gronkowski on a second and goal play. It's right where only Gronk can catch it, and he just couldn't.
Well, Skip, you can't give him A-. Skip, that was incomplete. I mean, if he completes one of those, okay, maybe you give him A-.
But what I'm saying is, if you'd hit one more of those, I might even go A. But the only deep ball he hit, quote unquote, was the throw, the drop down the chimney to Scotty Miller. That was 29 yards. But other than that, he was flawless on all of his other throws. They are operating at the highest level on offense. And obviously, you need some run game because Aaron Rodgers had the best run game he's ever had in a playoff game against the Rams. Who knew that was coming?
And plus, Skip, Brady was 1 of 6 of throwing the ball 20 yards down the field. As you mentioned, the one completion was a 20-plus yard completion to Scotty Miller. Leonard Fournette led the team in receiving with 5 catches and the touchdown out of the backfield. And so I think the thing is, like I said, and that's what young quarterbacks have to understand. You don't always have to win the game. If the other team wants to lose it, let them. You want to do that? Okay, sure, go right ahead. I'm not going to fight you.
Okay, but Tom Brady ended up throwing for 199 yards. Those were as hard 199 yards as he's ever thrown for in his career because New Orleans has his number. Across the board, their DBs can lock up with everybody.
Yeah,
did you see anybody run a wide open?
No.
Obviously, it took a trick play for Jameis to throw the one wide open touchdown. I've never seen a more open touchdown.
And that's why I like New Orleans, Skip, because I said they have the type of corners that can match up because they can put hands on people and lock up. But I don't think anybody saw this, Skip. We knew Drew was not the Drew the last 2 or 3 years. But, Skip, I don't think anybody saw 4 turnovers because he's never had that before.
Yep. Here we go.
No mercy.